it's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
Happy weekend, Dr. Mental.
Always a happy weekend.
Definitely, because summer is quickly approaching, and people are thinking of getting outside, and they may also be thinking about getting a tan. You grew up on the shores of Lake Michigan. Did people tan?
Yeah, I actually grew up in a little beach town, and that was a big deal.
Right.
Now, for me, this was really a problem, Chris, because I had flaming red hair when I was younger. It's kind of subdued as I've gotten older with a little bit more blonde in it than red.
Right.
But here I was, the redhead with freckles, and I didn't tan. I just burned. Because tanning was popular, I just didn't look like the rest of the people, the bathing beauties, the people that donned the beaches. I would go out there and kind of glow in the dark on the beach because of my albino skin. I felt bad, and I always wished I could get a tan. I wanted to get that tan.
Well, as you were coming up, did people talk about the damages of the sun and tanning?
No, we didn't hear anything about that, and we hardly ever put on sunscreen. My mom used to take our cribs and put them on the beach. Now, I think she tried to find a tree because it would be really hot, but we would go out as babies and toddlers and young kids, and we'd be on the beach for hours growing up in that town.
Right.
And then when I went to college, we had a top of a dorm that we used as sunbathe.
Right.
And we took baby oil and put iodine in it and slathered that all over our bodies and sat there.
You put iodine?
Oh, yeah. That was really popular. Iodine and baby oil. And it would tan your skin.
Huh.
It looked a little orange at times because of the iodine. It was really, really bad for our skin. And I can see the damage of that even years later. So not good.
When I was growing up, tanning beds were really at their peak.
They were when you were growing up.
Right.
So did you go out in the sun? Did you think about tanning? You have the complexion that looks like you would tan easily.
Well, I can burn.
Yeah.
No, we weren't really told about the damages of the sun. The only thing I remember is you would see older ladies that had leathery skin.
Yeah.
And I remember asking my mom one time, what is wrong with her? And mom said, well, she spent way too much time in the sun.
Yeah, and you would see that. We had friends of our family that owned a farm, and they were out there all the time. We're going to talk about this today because we really want to get people thinking about the psychological components of this. It may surprise you, the reasons that people tan, and then, of course, we're going to talk about some of the risks. We're going to tie this into some spiritual issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to a couple of people. We went out in the street like we usually do, and let's listen to them and see what they say about tanning.
No, I don't like to tan. It's bad for my skin. Maybe self-tanning for some people, but no tanning in the sun.
It's terrible for your skin. It causes damage to your skin and can give you cancer. Stay out of the sun.
Okay.
No two ways about it there.
Here's the issue. We know this, but how many of us actually do this?
Right.
So that's why we want to get into it.
Right. Let's start with the pressure that people feel to tan. Why do they do it?
Let's look at a number of beliefs that people hold, because this is where you really get into this. In fact, I had this conversation with my daughter last night. She wants a tan because she has a belief that she holds. And I said, why do you want a tan? She said this very first one we're going to talk about, because you look healthier when you have a tan. This whole idea of the American ideal is still this tan beach body, this image of these celebrities with the dark tans. And even though most of those celebrities, they're paid to look beautiful and to look a certain way, you know they're not going out there in reality and going into the sun.
No.
So you know those tans have to be fake, and they're not going to wreck their skin. Yet they're giving us that image that this is the way you're supposed to look. That's one of the big ones. Another belief is that you just look more attractive if you have a tan. Having a tan can even out your skin and the blemishes. And some people say, especially if they have psoriasis or some kind of acne problems, a little bit of the sun does dry up that acne and kind of help the skin. the detriment to the skin right. is one of those things that really make it problematic. Well, let's listen to a couple other people we had that told us what they thought.
I'm pale and I always get burnt. It's quite boring because you just have to sit there for ages no matter what method you use. It looks good afterwards, though.
I don't ever tan. I think it's kind of a waste of time because I don't think that trying to make your skin darker than it naturally is does anything to like make you more good looking or cute or whatever.
Now, the first person there lives in Great Britain.
So yeah, is it? I was trying to decide if it was Australia or Britain. I couldn't really tell the difference there.
Well, if she lives in London, she doesn't have to worry about too much sunlight.
Yeah, she'll never see the sun.
That's right.
Here's another one why we do this. People say you look thinner. They think that paler skin makes you look bigger. Do you think that's true?
Paler skin makes you look bigger.
Yeah, so if you're darker in terms of your skin with the tan, you look thinner?
I don't know.
I know.
I've seen some really thin people who don't necessarily have a tan.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Taylor Swift.
Right,
who's very pale, and Nicole Kidman.
Right,
who's very pale. They've obviously decided that they don't need a tan to look thinner.
I think what makes you look thinner is being thinner.
Well, how about this one? You have more confidence. A lot of people think that tanning boosts their confidence, and it's socially desirable. They say if we want to make ourselves feel better, if we have this tan, and somehow it's going to make us look better and feel more confident. I'm not so sure that's true.
I don't know either,
Because people feel like they look better with a tan, maybe that's tied to the confidence.
Right.
And then how about this one? You look active and outdoorsy.
It begs a good question, because if you do look active and outdoorsy, it's because you've been out in the sun.
Right, so it kind of goes together, doesn't
right.
it? So maybe people start thinking, oh, she's got a tan. She must be a hiker, or she must run, or be a marathon runner, or do things that are outside.
Right.
I guess there's some validity to that. And then here's the one that is really upsetting to me. And this is this whole notion that somehow we're never quite good enough. If you think about it, our culture supports a consumer culture of $100 billion+ when it comes to beauty products and weight loss products and looking better. There is something to this in terms of you have to go out and get this fantastic looking tan. It's part of the whole thing of you're never quite right and you're never quite good enough.
Right. It's almost a makeup in and of itself.
You know, I wrote this book called Making Peace with Your Thighs
right.
and Other Body Parts. Mm-hmm. One of the issues is this message from advertisers that you're not really right yet. You're not quite there. You're not good enough. You can still do more to improve. And so that's what they're counting on. So I think tanning can be a part of that. If people really believe that they look healthier or they look thinner or they have more confidence or somehow they're more attractive, they look healthy and outdoorsy, then what we've got is the very thing that we have to watch out for. And that is people will do something despite knowing that their lifestyle is creating massive problems for them and could create such a serious problem that people could actually die.
You'll get into this more as the show goes on, but tanning can become an addiction.
It can. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but there is a very small percentage, and they're still looking at that to see if that really is true. There seems to be something with the neurotransmitters and the use of a tanning bed that can get somebody to that, but it's a very small percentage.
All right. Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. The topic today, reasons to rethink tanning. And now that we understand why people tan after the break, reasons to rethink those beliefs. It's the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We'll be right back. You can learn more from Relationship Dr. Linda Mental on her website, drlindamental.com.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, He knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, He wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control. No matter how much we think we do, He does. And third, He wants us to trust Him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who He says He is, or He will do what He says He will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse his goodness, accept his grace, and walk in the confidence that he is in control and he's working all things for your good.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we are getting ready for summer and talking about tanning, to tan or not to tan. What are the reasons, Dr. Linda, that we should rethink the amount of time we spend in the sun?
Melanoma is the number one reason why we need to really rethink tanning. It's the most serious form of skin cancer, and it can kill you. According to the Mayo Clinic, exposure to ultraviolet radiation from sunlight and these UV rays, or if you're in a tanning bed or a tanning lamp, those things increase your risk of developing melanoma. The sun goes along with that, and melanoma is increasing in females ages 15 to 29. Think about that. And it's more so than males. And I think that has to do with the media pressure that women somehow feel that they have to have this tanned look in order to be attractive.
It's interesting because you'll see a young couple and the girl has obviously either been to the beach or has spent a lot of time in the backyard or on a tanning bed. She's dark, but then her boyfriend isn't. Apparently guys don't have to get to be that dark, but apparently the girls do.
That's tied to what we see on magazines and in the print and media and all that. Let's listen to a couple of other people who have an idea about this.
I think natural tanning can be helpful because you get a lot of vitamin D, but when you do artificial tanning, you have a lot of danger from UVA rays from tanning beds.
Do I like tanning? Yes, I do. My opinion is a reasonable amount of sun will give you vitamin D and not skin cancer, but getting sunburned too much likely would.
Dr. Linda, I tend to agree with him. I've always felt the same way. A reasonable amount of sun, get some vitamin D, can't hurt.
Here's the flaw in their thinking. The UV rays are still dangerous, whether you're getting vitamin D or not. That's the whole idea of sunscreen. If you're out there and you don't have any sunscreen on, you're still getting the dangerous rays. There are other sources of getting vitamin D as well, and you can sit in the sun for a little bit, but have sunscreen on. So you're protecting yourself from those UV rays, and especially when we're talking about indoor tanning. This is really a frightening statistic, Chris. There's a stat that says that indoor tanning has increasing the risk of melanoma by 75%. That's a lot of people. That is such a deadly form of cancer, and it's skyrocketing in young adults. In the past 40 years, we're seeing a sixfold increase in that age group and their desire to tan. If we're looking at women in that young age range from 18 to 39, this is where we're seeing a huge rise in melanoma. We walk around and we think, oh, it won't happen to us. Or what's the big deal? Or I don't see anybody as a celebrity talking about melanoma and getting melanoma. I'm telling you, this is very dangerous, very scary. You need to have that sunscreen on when you're out in the sun. That's just a way to protect yourself. Another thing that is interesting about this is that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the World Health Organization, which is this international agency of research on cancer, they have this panel. They have declared ultraviolet radiation, the UV rays that we're talking about from the sun, in the way you get that artificially in tanning beds and sun lamps, as known carcinogens. These are the cancer-causing substances. So you know where it says on a pack of cigarettes, known to cause cancer?
Yes.
Same thing with these UV rays. And yet we're thinking this is a healthy thing to do just because we like the way it looks. So what do we have? We have melanoma, and we have the sun, the UV rays, as being a known carcinogen. So we really need to think about that. Well, let's move it too, Chris, to tanning beds, because I know these have become so popular. But let's listen to one of our men on the streets.
I mean, I like tanning. I naturally am tanning booth. It's relaxing. It's not the best for you, but it is relaxing.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Find another way to relax, sir.
Right. I'll be honest with you. When I was a teen, especially before we went to the prom, I did visit the tanning bed along with everyone else.
You did as a guy?
Yes.
Wow. There's a ton of pressure. We did that show on prom pressures, and one of the pressures is going into a tanning bed. My daughter had the same thing, and I have to admit, I let her do it one time. And then I was so convicted. I was like, no.
Never again.
I know this. I'm faculty at a medical school. You will not do that. Tanning beds have been linked to skin cancer. They've also been linked to premature aging and even eye damage. eye damage is really serious too. Here's one of the things, when I went in there with my daughter, because she was putting the pressure on me, everybody's doing it, I'll be the only one, I'll be so white, I won't fit in. And I went in there and I watched the people that came out of there, and their skin looked terrible.
Right.
I thought, I know better, this is not going to continue. And this is interesting. Did you know that starting this July, you're going to have to pay a 10% tax every time you go into a tanning booth?
Really?
They're adding a tax.
To try to discourage the use?
Just to tax it. It's like a cosmetic thing, maybe to pay for the health care that we're going to need as a result of that. I'm not sure. Listen to this. Based on 7 worldwide studies, people who first use a tanning bed before the age of 35 increase their risk for melanoma by 87%.
Mm.
Here's a quote from somebody. This is a doctor who writes about tanning. He says, all of my younger melanoma patients, girls in their early 20s, have been tanning bed users.
Hmm.
Isn't that sad?
Girls in their early 20s
have melanoma. They've all been people who have used tanning beds. This doctor is trying to put it in perspective by pointing out that 20 minutes in a tanning bed is the same as an entire day on the beach with no sunblock.
Wow.
And she says that until her patients have skin cancer, she can't get these young people to understand the risks that are involved, which is why we're doing the show.
Well, that makes sense what you said. When you saw people coming out of the tanning salon,
their
skin looked terrible. But you've gotten that much UV radiation into your skin in just a short amount of time.
Like all day at the beach
without
sunblock. Mm. Nobody would do that, I would hope.
Right.
And then there's no such thing, according to the experts, of this healthy tan. We talked a lot in the first segment about people think it's healthy, but when it comes from UV rays, there's no healthy way to do it. The number one thing that dermatologists and researchers that are well known in this area say is stop the tanning beds, because all the correlations point towards that as a reason for this increased risk of melanoma that we're beginning to see. I'm not here to advertise a product or tell you not to take certain products, but when I see that kind of risk of melanoma in a population of people that are going to tanning beds, and when we have physicians telling us that their young patients are getting this and that's what they have. This is not just a U.S. problem either. In Australia, they have taken some action in this regard. They have one of the highest skin cancer rates in the world. And so what they decided to do is they are going beyond just the warning that sometimes the U.S. has. They've been banning those beds. The U.S. is trying to tighten up its oversight and recommend that people under the age of 18 don't use them.
We're talking about a place where people go to the beach for Christmas. Do they need tanning beds?
We don't. So that's the point. But we get rid of this idea that somehow this is healthy, we're going to get this. As you're listening to this, if you're a mom, if you're a grandmother, if you're a teen listening to this, a young adult, don't use these beds. Even with events that are pressuring you like proms and homecomings and award shows, I'm going to suggest that you go with the Taylor Swift look and you start thinking that pale is in. Pale skin should be in. And we can make a little saying. I was trying to make a button here. Pale skin, yes, it's in. I don't know. I just came up.
Put it on a white T-shirt.
Yeah, there you go. The look of that tan comes with a price, and we do need a new trend, or we'll talk about some other alternatives to this to get that look. But it certainly is not worth going to the homecoming looking good if melanoma is going to be an outcome a few years later. I mentioned about the addiction just to say that for some people, and we think this is a small population, the UV radiation can have a drug-like effect to them.
Wow.
And they feel a dependence on it, and they can even experience withdrawal symptoms. There's a doctor, David Fisher, who's studying this. The safer alternative, what we're going to recommend, is spray tans or self-tanning creams. I looked a lot online, read a lot of dermatology sites, and most of them consider those to be relatively safe because they don't have the UV radiation in them. So they don't think that there's any evidence right now from this chemical that's in self-tanners called DHA. It's a chemical that's in there, but right now there's no clear evidence that it's harmful to humans if it's applied topically and used as directed. If you've got a kid and they're pressuring you and they're saying, come on, I got to look good, maybe suggest the self-tanning sprays. And you have some issues there with inhalation and ingestion, so you have to be really careful with those.
And you have to put it on properly or you will look ridiculous.
Yeah, and you have to have the protective gear, and there's all kinds of recommendations with that. So the self-tanning creams is definitely a way to go.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're talking about reasons to rethink tanning. After the break, we'll talk about the implications concerning mood and depression and tanning. We'll be right back.
Well, the other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Now, everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do much good. And really, it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Well, you know, anger easily rises up in most of us. And while anger is a natural emotion, we need to deal with it the right way. So it's not wrong to be angry, but how you deal with your anger is what counts. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? This is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. This small book has sold over 130,000 copies. It's because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry, but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches us. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com. That's drlindamental.com, and also available online where books are sold.
So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the Relationship Doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on MyFaithRadio.com. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're discussing the reasons to rethink tanning. And Dr. Linda, as we get into this last segment, you say this can be a marker of depression. Explain that.
This is an important point, that the teenage years are tough as it is, because teenagers right. usually feel pretty insecure about their bodies, and sometimes they don't grow out of that into adults as well. Right. The whole pressure here of that desire to fit in, and when it comes to appearances, teens are just under so much pressure to have the perfect body, to look like celebrities, and they just don't feel like they measure up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can end up in depression. This can play into it. One group of researchers decided to study teens and frequent tanning to see if there was a correlation between tanning and mood. They looked at a whole bunch of high school students who excessively tanned. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion of the study was that they found that that was associated with depression and suicide attempts among teens. So that can sometimes be a marker. If you have a kid who's excessively wanting to tan and just can't stop and won't listen to reason, maybe you ought to look and see if there's some depression going on, some real peer pressure here to fit in and to perhaps look another way.
Right.
Just a thought to put in the minds of parents that frequent tanning can be a marker of depression. Parents, pay attention to your teen's tanning behavior, and maybe they're doing this as a mood booster or a way to try to get their confidence going, but it can also be an indication of depression. And certainly, suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. We want to really pick up on anything that could indicate that a teen is feeling depressed or suicidal.
Right. Well, today on the show, we've discussed that it is important to rethink your beliefs concerning tanning. Consider the risks and consider what other alternatives there are to practicing safe sun, as you put it.
So we're practicing safe sun. I like that idea. Right. It's another bumper sticker we could have. Practice safe sun. What do you think? So one of the things is obviously to wear protective clothing when you're out in the sun and to stay in the shade or bring an umbrella when possible. I can't imagine the teenagers listening to me are going, really, Dr. Linda, I'm going to walk around with an umbrella. But try not to be directly into the sun. And if you are, apply those broad spectrum sunscreens and apply them often. You have to reapply those. That's the thing we always forget about, especially if you're doing sports and you're sweating, you're going to have to reapply the sunscreen.
Right.
And then the worst times of the day, between 10 and 3, that's when those UV rays are the strongest. I'm going to say it again, never, ever use tanning beds.
You've got four evers after never here.
It's just highlighted on my notes, just to never, ever use those tanning beds.
Right. Usually at this point in the program, we begin to put a spiritual tie the topic that we discuss. Is there one for tanning?
Yeah, there really is.
How might it relate to your book, making peace with your thighs.
The book is all about body image and how we deal with our bodies. And so mm-hmm. we began this show talking about how we have these beliefs that somehow we look better when we tan. If we're looking at the influences of the larger culture, they're defining us. Mm. They're telling us what we're supposed to look like, how we're supposed to measure up to certain standards of beauty that we may or may not have. Here's the takeaway for us to think about, that our worth is not found in our physical appearance, that God values our heart. Our identity needs to be found in Him, not in the physical appearances, that these bodies that we are in right now will one day be dust. So it's really going to be what we do for God that matters. Here's the thing. Stop the negative and degrading thoughts that you might have about what you look like and walk in the confidence of the Lord, not in the confidence of a tan.
Right.
And accept God's unconditional love and acceptance for you. You don't have to do anything to earn His love and acceptance. And then accept your uniqueness and your individuality as being God-given. It took me a long time to get comfortable with the idea that I'm freckled, redhead, and have very white skin. It wasn't something that I saw a whole lot of great models for in the culture. But you know, this is how God made me, and to toy with that is probably something that I don't want to do. Let me close with a scripture, Chris, and this is a great one, and this is taken from the Message version, which sometimes I really like to read in that version because it makes it more contemporary.
Sounds more like us talking.
Yeah, right. It sounds like what we would say. So this is Psalm 139:14. It says, "I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation." God is telling you that you're marvelously and wonderfully made, and that the way you are is just right for God. When we're looking at things that are risky and dangerous in terms of dealing with our appearance, we need to really make those choices based on some good, sound medical advice, some good, sound emotional reasons, and even a spiritual reason of where we find our acceptance. It isn't on the outside beauty. It's on the heart, according to God. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So many thanks to our producer, Katie Reshetko, our man on the street, Robert Tucker, our social media director, Hannah Duke, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here and we're doing life together. And it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.